Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like. You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
This is Michael Gineau with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to say thank you to all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots, the right wing of the United States of America. Thank you, guys. I love you. The ratings just keep going up on the show. They just keep getting better. And I can't say enough to the guys at America's Web Radio for offering, for coming and saying we want to know the truth about Israel and bring it to the United States. I also want to say thank you a million times to everyone that has contributed to Hershey's for Heroes. A week ago this past Friday, I was down on the Gaza border and on a base there with Golani soldiers. They're special, like a special force of soldiers. And they were elated. And I didn't have enough chocolate bars. I didn't have enough because they were sending me to another base. So thank you for everyone that gives. This past Friday, I was up on the border of Lebanon taking Hershey's for Heroes to the soldiers there. And then Sunday, I was down on the Egyptian border. And you will never know. You will never know unless you're here, and I wish you could be, what it means to these soldiers. It's not the chocolate bar. They're thankful for that. They gobble it up. But it's the note, the word of encouragement that these soldiers get from the grassroots of the United States of America. And they are beat down by an Islamic media, by a leftist media, by a leftist governance around the world that says this is not a legitimate state, that says this is an apartheid state, and continues with its propaganda against the Jewish people. And so this message changes the whole countenance, the whole attitude, the whole mentality of every soldier that comes across Hershey's for Heroes. And I want to say thank you to Americans for taking the time to send a box of Hershey's chocolate bars. Listen, if you want to send Hershey's for Heroes, you can go to my Facebook page at Michael Gineau, or you can go to the Hershey's for Heroes page on Facebook. Just type in Hershey's for Heroes, or you can send me an email at Michael A. Gineau, G-A-N-O-E, at gmail.com, and I will send you the information. Thank you for everyone that participates. Now, I am here in the beautiful city of Tel Aviv. Wow, what a night. It's gorgeous out here. It is beautiful. And I'm here with two people that I call friends, and Jay Schultz, and what's this? No, you don't want to what? Jay's fiance. For some reason, I can't wait to go to this wedding because it's going to be amazing, amazing. I've been to some Jewish weddings, but I want this to top off the ones I've been to. I don't know when it's going to take place, but, you know, I'm pushing it. I'm pushing it.
Invitations in the mail, Michael.
All right. I like that. Hey, and the mail's kind of slow sometimes.
Thank God.
Now, do me a favor, Jay, because you are the head of your household, and I respect that as a man. Well, I'm with Jay Schultz. He's been on the show before. Jay, it's good to have you back, brother.
Michael, always a pleasure hanging.
Could you introduce your fiance, please? I insist. Regardless of her hand motions, this is going to be on Sunday. Regardless of her hand motions, look at her. She's taught it. We love her. We love you.
We're going to Ms. Anonymous.
Ms. Anonymous. Okay. Ms. Anonymous, okay. So. Yeah, we don't want to put anybody's life in danger because the Muslims are after me. Jay, thanks for being here.
Pleasure. Welcome to the White City.
It's a great place, and look, I want to say thank you for all that you do for the Jewish state. White City Shabbat, I love it. I enjoy it, and you never have to ask or even hint at me taking pictures.
I'm going to need you, man. You're my Shabbos goy, brother.
I love it. I love the atmosphere. I love the bonding. I love the networking. I love the stories. But I get to talk to so many Jews from all over the world about why they came home to the Jewish state.
You know, Michael, one of the powers of the Jewish people is unity. It's incredible. In the Torah, whenever the Jews were unified and doing the wrong thing, God let it happen. But if we're doing the right thing, but we don't respect each other, we're not together, God strikes us down anyway. Unity in and of itself, God's our Father. And God wants the family getting along. God wants the family together. Together in the land of Israel. But also together in terms of unified society. And that's something we're working on. You know, Israel, we have a country, we still need a nation.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you, I have to say that I've been here over a year, and the people here are just amazing. They're amazing. I traveled all over this country, and I feel such a bond. And I'm thankful that my mother raised me on Torah, that she would sit us down for an hour every night and read to us and say, no matter what, you always stand with the Jewish people for their homeland. And then I went on to go to a Christian college.
Bless her, man. Bless.
And we studied Torah.
Bless your mama.
Yeah, she's the best. She's actually coming in January. She's supposed to come in October, but you know how it is in the States. The hospitals are bankrupt, so that kind of put it on hold. But, you know, just the fact that I got to go to a Christian college, and they emphasized when we studied Torah, always stand with the Jewish people. And I'll tell you, it is amazing. I'm thankful for that bond. That though we may have slight disagreements, the bond...
Stand with the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
Stand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stand.
Absolutely. So, anyway, with that being said, look, you've been... I've seen a lot of activity in the years since I've been here. And we actually met back in the spring.
Mm.
And... you got a lot going on. You're doing a project now where new Olim, which are Jews that have come home to the Jewish state, can participate and be active in their communities by helping the police. Explain a
little bit. You know, as I said before, you know, the pioneers that built this country, you know, Israel's, you know, as a state is 65 years old, and really as a country is about 100 years old. You know, 100 years ago, some of the first, you know, was the first big wave of Aliyah. Jews came here, started draining the swamps, building the roads, making the kibbutzes, fighting the wars. And thank God we have a country. We have a strong country.
Absolutely.
A country to be proud of. And what they did in 65 years has been incredible.
Incredible.
But it's not over, right?
Right.
We're still on day three. You know, where was America 65 years after it started, right? We're Civil War. We were a mess over there in America.
Yeah.
Israel's doing pretty well for 65 years. But there's still a lot to be done here.
Right.
And in a very substantive way, young Jews today can still come here and be a pioneer. In the true sense, you know, being a pioneer did not end with Begin and Ben-Gurion. They didn't have the monopoly. And I say this all the time to young Jews around the world, how amazing is it to be anywhere and with a little bit of energy and effort, be able to have such contribution, be able to do so much.
Right.
That's sexy for a young person,
right,
to be able to give and see impact like that. So one of the big ways that young Jews from America, what they can do here in the land of Israel, is contribute really to society.
Right.
Build up the nation, civil society. And that's what I think Americans are really great at. You know, I live here. I'm never leaving this country. I'm here until 120 years. But I'm very proud to be American. I love what America gave me. I love the values that it gave me,
right,
as a society.
Which can I interject,
yeah,
here?
Yeah, please.
And I say this a lot because I get a lot of people that ask me, as someone that's not Jewish, why do you care, you know? And I always, again, revert back to the values that my parents instilled in me, but even farther than that, not just my founding fathers who fought for freedom, who got that fight from the, and our principles, our Constitution and Bill of Rights, in spite of the fact the leftists are trying to rewrite history and remove God from that history, if it had not been for Hashem or God giving Torah to the Jewish people, I would not have a Constitution or Bill of Rights. I would not be a free man. So I owe my freedom internally to God and externally to the Jewish people. And I want to say thank you, because that's where that civility, that law, that we can't legislate righteousness, but God has given us laws to keep us as guardrails, to keep us in where we should be.
And Moses was the first civil rights attorney, huh?
Wow, that's good stuff.
Equal under the law, my friend. Equal under the law. Man and woman.
Wow, that's me. That's me right there, brother. That's me. Ain't no vegetarian sitting at this table. That's all true. So you started this program.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the nonprofit organizations I run here for young Olim, young international Jews living here, it's called Project TA. Specifically, TA, referring to Tel Aviv, it's about the idea of glocal, right? Think globally, act locally. Volunteerism, charity. Roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty. Don't right. just whine about stuff, but fix it. Mm. Get involved. And I think that's what America really gives you. We right. know how to do that.
Right.
Better the universe from the grassroots. Not just complain Absolutely. About. Not just complain to the government. Not wait for the leaders to do it. They right. got to do what they do.
Mm.
But just because you vote for somebody doesn't mean you have no responsibility.
You've abdicated your responsibility.
Exactly. So Project TA really is about that. It's about civic engagement, bettering our holy city of Tel Aviv in multiple different ways. We started 2 years ago just as an educational project, teaching young Olim in Tel Aviv, how does your city work? You know, how does your municipality work? What are the politics? What are the issues? What powers does the mayor have? Everything very different, by the way, than the U.S. For instance, Israel has no local police. The mayor does not have a police force, the way the mayor of New York. The guy's got an army.
Right.
Here, the mayor of Tel Aviv doesn't control the police. The police in Israel are only national. Only national. And they're sub-districted, but everything runs out of the headquarters in Jerusalem. So if you really want to better issues of crime, you know, we have a lot of problems now. Thank God, Tel Aviv is one of the safest major cities in the world. It's right. incredible. No one worries about rapes and muggings and murders. It doesn't really happen. But we have our issues. And this specific project gives the ability for Olim to volunteer with the Israel National Police in Tel Aviv, get professionally trained. You know, the Israel National Police get paid very little.
Right.
We need a huge amount of volunteers. And it gives Olim the ability to not just complain, but to fix. It's 3 weeks of proper training. I'm telling you, they get uniforms.
Nice.
They get training in 9mm.
Wow.
They can volunteer to the extent that they want to. They want to volunteer on horses on the beach. They want to volunteer driving around. They want to volunteer in the station.
Right.
The full gamut is really possible. Well, they can volunteer as traffic cops, but I recommend them not doing that. I don't need more speed.
That's
belt.
Hilarious.
But, you know.
Yeah, because the traffic's here crazy.
What's great about a lot of the Americans moving here is, unlike other Olim that have come here to Israel the last 100 years, we come with a better economy than Israel has. And we come often with more education, international business networks, and bigger bank accounts than many Israelis. So we come here not to take from the country, but to give.
Right.
And one of the biggest things we need to do is for the country to have us seen as a treasure that says, I want to do for the Israeli society, I want to do for my city, I want to do for my neighborhood, I want to do for my block. And that's America, man. And I love that.
No, absolutely. You know, I think that... what gave you this idea to start this program? I mean, where'd that come from? Because I know... Let me say this.
Yeah.
I know that there's certain parts of the city, and let me clarify, because I've had people send me emails, Americans send me emails that... they don't get it. They're just folks that don't get it. But they're like, they tell me all the time, oh, you think Israel's perfect, blah, blah, blah. Look, like any other place, just being down on the Egyptian border, they have a lot of drugs that flow in, that they try to sneak in from Egypt to bring here. And you have a lot of illegals, just like the United States does.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the kindness of your heart, this country's allowed people who are politically oppressed to come here from Africa. And so, you know, it's created somewhat of a bit of a drug problem sometimes.
Thank God Israel's not perfect. If Israel was perfect, we wouldn't have the merit of bettering the land of Israel.
Right.
If the Jewish people had no problems, no one would get the merit of taking care of the Jewish people.
Right.
It's a real blessing God gives us to be able to take care of that. And
go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of the idea, listen. It is very normal. I grew up in New Jersey. It's very normal to have a volunteer police corps. It's a very American thing to do. As part of Project TA, we're also doing, by the way, a Olim Volunteer Hatzalah, which is a emergency first responder medics. We're doing emergency medic training. I got to tell you, it's a no-brainer. I think what really got me, pushed me to finally doing it is just hearing people complain all the time. I hate it, man.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of people. There's people who complain, but there's people that see a problem but see it as an opportunity to do a mitzvah, to be able to fix that problem. And I want to give people the opportunity to do that mitzvah.
Right.
I want to give them the chance to roll up their sleeves and have that volunteer opportunity. Because if you're not given the chance to fix something, you are just going to sit on your butt and complain about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You're just going to... And this flips that on its head.
Nice.
And it's making lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, wow. And that I think that that connects people with the country even greater.
Yeah, it makes them feel wanted, makes them feel useful. It gives them a real personal, physical stake in their city, in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's got to help build community and sustain them here. And, you know, we invest so much to bring the Jews here, I want to make sure they stay and stay happy.
Absolutely. Now, you just had your first meeting last night.
Oh, yeah. We had the first wave of volunteers. We had about 120 sign up.
Wow.
And just in the first round alone, I mean, we had oversubscribed. You know, we could only have half of that come to the first event at the local police station.
Wow.
But,
How did the police respond to that?
They respond like lots of Israelis. Like, thanks. We don't get it, but thanks, you know? Like, you came from New York to do this. I get paid. I'm not sure I want to be doing this. That's it. I mean, they're grateful, but it's... They're not sure. They're not sure what's going on.
No, I think I would understand that. I mean,
yeah.
I've had a lot of people ask me why. So I think that once that process gets started, they're gonna come back and say, "Wow, you know what?" Of course, you always get some folks that are eventually gonna drop out because they find out it's not for them. But I really believe, and I have no problem believing that you believe this. But they'll come back and say, "Wow, thank you."
Because for sure. And by the way, it's like every little act of kindness, every good deed, even if you don't see the result, it's there.
Right.
Every good deed plants a seed that maybe it'll sprout in an hour, maybe it'll sprout in 10 years.
Right.
But no good deed goes unnoticed by God, and only good comes of it. You know, we Jews believe that when you do a mitzvah, a good deed, when you follow God's law, the benefit isn't heavenly. The benefit isn't spiritually. The benefit is also that.
Right.
But the reason for doing a mitzvah is God gives you the blessing to be able to do another mitzvah.
Right.
And you can only do mitzvot in this world when you have a soul in this body. And it's part of that.
Nice.
We see it all the time.
So what is the other project that you're working on? Okay, we've got White City Shabbat. We've got this, Adopt a Safta.
Yeah, Adopt a Safta, taking care of lonely Holocaust survivors. Actually, this week also, on Sunday, we did a massive training for about 80 new volunteers, taking care of Israel's lonely Holocaust survivor population. Israel has about the largest survivor population in the world. For obvious reasons, we have about 180,000 left. We lose about 35 a week. I'm the grandson of Holocaust survivors, and we don't have many more years of survivors. I mean, it's going to come, and unfortunately, too soon, where no one's going to know a survivor. My kids will not know survivors.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate you speaking in the future tense positively.
And while I'm an optimist, I believe in God. I got to be. And when you have this population that's in such need, by the way, it's, you know, survivors in Israel have a real plight. It's real, God, I forgot my English, living here so long. It's chaval. It's a real shame the way the Israeli government has such bad bureaucracy that often the survivors get unhelped.
Right.
And they got real issues, man. There are issues on just basics, food, medicine. But yet the number one complaint is simple loneliness. And, you know, I have a population here in Tel Aviv of over 15,000 young olim, like myself, come here with no family. So on a big brother, big sister model, connecting these two communities where a young olim, a young ole, a young Jew comes to Tel Aviv, adopts literally a lonely grandmother or grandfather who was a Holocaust survivor, visits once a week, go to lunch, go to coffee, sit and read a book together, go to the movies, or just hang in Yenta, just hang and hang out and talk about their lives. And that's the kind of good we're doing there. And it's also beautiful seeing the two generations of Jews connect and pass on that memory, pass on that legacy.
You know, let me add to that by asking you a question, because on the radio show I actually had a gentleman, Joseph Sadak, lives in Holland, and Joseph was in Palmach. And I actually had him on twice, and his story is amazing, amazing, amazing. I can't say that enough. And they, you know, his story would run parallel with those who were in World War II, because it was basically the same time frame. Have you, is there any organization, or have you ever thought about trying to document the life, for remembrance sake, for the young Aline that don't,
yeah,
when they're expired, who's going to tell their story? Is
sure.
it still around?
I do know that there are Israeli nonprofits that do record stories, the way the Spielberg Foundation in America records the stories of survivors, that does record the stories of the founders of Israel, the Irgun, the Palmach, the Haganah. And it's crucial. I mean, listen, I named the organization Adopt a Savta. By the way, for you out there, Savta means grandmother in Hebrew. Of course, we take care of the Sabas, also the grandfathers. It's just a cuter name, Adopt a Savta.
Right, right.
It was in honor of my grandmother also. But I named the organization Adopt a Grandmother because I knew that one day, soon, we're not going to have survivors to work with, and the organization will open up to just young people taking care of the lonely elderly.
Yeah.
And so we'll get there, man. We'll get there.
Wow, wow. Because, look, I'm 43 in December, and I have no grandparents left, and I have one parent left. And, you know, even before all that, I was always intrigued, and I have a whole stack of biographies, many of which weren't even published. They were just done on a personal level, as far as for the families of World War II veterans. When I worked for a nonprofit in the States, I would, a right-wing conservative think tank, I would be on the phone with guys, people in World War II, because you can see their information. And I'd always ask them, you know, were you in World War II? And they would say, yeah. And right then and there, like, the conversation ended up being for an hour. My boss would always get aggravated. His office was next to mine. Because I became so enthralled, because they sacrificed. Even those who came through the Shoah sacrificed so much. Shoah meaning Holocaust. Sacrificed so much. And many times, you will not hear anything out of them on these issues.
Yeah, you know, so my mother's parents were Holocaust survivors. And my father's parents, my grandfather, my father's father, fought in the Pacific.
Wow.
He was in Guam. He was in Tinian. He was in Saipan. He was, you know.
Wow.
I have, yeah.
Amazing, amazing. So, listen, along with all of that, you had just, and I don't know if we talked about this in the last show that we did back a long time ago, but you did go to Europe, and you went to a meeting there.
Yeah. Sure. So for the World Jewish Congress, I'm a interreligious diplomat. It's an honorary position. It's not a diplomat where I get to park wherever I want, unfortunately. But
and you have to pay for your parking tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it is a very honorary, I mean, in a very beautiful sense, role to be able to represent the Jewish people in an interreligious sense to various religious sects. So I was representing Jews at the Muslim Jewish Conference in Sarajevo, in Bosnia.
Wow, what an interesting place to hold it.
But I mean, listen, Bosnia itself, Sarajevo specifically, has a very long history of religious tolerance, and Sarajevo really was, for many years, a place where Jews, Christians, and Muslims got along, and got along well. And that hasn't always been the case, usually in most parts of the world.
Right.
So, you know, the Jewish community of Sarajevo is ancient. We have gorgeous old synagogues there. And it was a week of young Jews and young Muslims from around the world, by the way. About 70 from each side, Muslims from everywhere. I'm talking Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Yemen.
Wow.
You know, also a lot of European Muslims.
Right.
And Jews from all over the world, but very few actually from Israel. And I was there representing and talking it out. And thank God, man, most places people don't talk. So
right.
It was nice to have that environment. And, you know, and young people have a better chance of having more open minds and being able to discuss these things. So it was a phenomenal experience. Problems weren't solved. We didn't shake hands and have world peace. But it was really quality.
Yeah.
I mean, really quality. And I did meet some amazing, amazing guys on the Muslim side, I got to tell you. In fact, a lot of the Muslim guys I liked a lot more than the Jewish guys, frankly. Not every Jew, quote-unquote, was a great representative of the Jewish people over there.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think part of that might have to do with the fact that, you know, I mean, I don't know what the age range was.
It was young. It was mostly 20s and 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You think that might partly be due to the fact that maybe where they grew up or how they grew up, the mentality. I mean, look, if you live in Judea and Samaria, and you got folks throwing, you got Muslims throwing rocks at your car and killing your people, that can create a. I mean, now, were you the only representative from Israel?
No, there were a couple of us, but I was the only. I was really one of the only, if not the only, I would say, religious right-wing Zionist.
Yeah.
At the conference.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The you know, the majority of Jews in America are very liberal, very
right.
very left wing,
which is was going to be something.
And
I was gonna
and
hit
yeah,
on.
Not and you know, I think a lot of Muslims and I understood the issues and a lot better than a lot of the Jews. And by the way, most American Jews are not religious, man. They don't believe in God, and they don't believe God wrote the Torah.
Fortunately,
and they don't believe in the God, you know, God given land of Israel or the Jewish people. So when they're talking to Muslims, who by the way. There's very few secular Muslims, you know?
Right.
A secular European Muslim is still, in an American traditional sense, very religious. They
right.
believe in God. They believe God. They believe God. God exists. They believe God speaks to us. They believe God listens to our prayers. They believe God put up laws and has a, you know, meaning to humanity. That's far beyond what most American Jews believe in, but most Americans probably
have. Which is
have.
Sad. Which
it's,
is sad.
It's very sad. So...
And, you know, Europe in general, the sad thing is that, look, I'm pretty hard on Islam, brother. I got no love. I'll just be straight up
yeah.
with you. I
yeah.
got no love. The bad part is that Europe is becoming Europeans in general. I'm not going to say all. I don't want to make a blank statement.
Yeah.
I know some. But I've got a friend of mine right now here from Holland who says that, who's a Christian, he works in anti-terrorism. For the police
sure.
there, and the Europeans are becoming more and more godless, and then the churches are being taken over by mosques.
Yeah, listen, man.
So something's going to fill in the vacuum.
I'm not going to be an apologist for the Muslim anti-Zionist fundamentalists.
Now let me say this
yeah.
before you go into that. I only speak for myself. I'm not speaking for you, and or anyone else. I enjoy speaking for myself because.
You have a radio show, man. That's what you got that right.
Right. So, but anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're an apologist, and I would.
No, I agree. But I do want to say, listen, man. There's 1.5 billion Muslims in the world.
That's pretty.
There's
to me, that's pretty scary.
But there's, you know, they're also human beings. They're also
right.
created in the image of God, and there are good people out there. And you know, the word in Hebrew, you know, Ishmael. Which is the,
right.
the same way, you know, the Jews come from Yitzchak, Isaac. Ishmael means, and God will listen. And guess what? Muslims pray 5 times a day to God. That's a beautiful thing. Now, I'm not saying what they're praying for. Some are good, some are bad. You know, in Jewish religion, a Jew's allowed to pray in a mosque and not in a church. They take
I'd
certain
like to see
things.
That happen in this country.
By the way,
that ain't gonna
does.
Happen.
By the way, it does.
You'll get strung up.
It has in this country historically. It's not all bad. The best lie is 99% true.
Right.
And
that's
so
absolutely.
And
true.
So to say that they got it all wrong, I mean that's just not correct. They got a lot right because they took it from us in the first place. Now,
yeah, the beginning part.
Jews also believe, you know, between Ishmael and Isaac.
Now, let me.
Yeah.
Let me. I want to make a point here, and I'm glad that we're on this topic here. But before we get to that,
yeah,
I'm going to have to remember it, and we're going to have to come back because we got to take a break. So we're on a good roll here because we're going to make a point to what we're going to talk about next
yeah.
about coming home.
On it.
So I want to thank everyone for listening to America's Web Radio, an insight to Israel, and we'll be right back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Ganot. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
And we're back. This is Michael Ganot with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I'm here in Tel Aviv. Wow, what a great night and a great first half of this segment. It was poetic. Purely poetic. I just flows. Jay, thank you for being here, brother. I love how it just flows.
I'm happy to hang with you, brother.
So we were talking about in the first segment, which was great. We got a lot of background noise. It adds a little ambiance, you know what I mean, to the atmosphere.
Makes the audience feel like they're here with us, huh?
You know, exactly. That's exactly why. And I want to say...
And you should all come, by the way.
Say it again?
You should all come.
Wow.
Spend your money in Israel.
Spend your money. Don't go to Europe. The Europeans are bought and sold. You know, see America. But come to the Jewish state. And I like to say Jewish state. You know, I want to say this as a side note before we get started.
By the way, this is not the state of the Jews. It is a Jewish state. You know, and that's a big difference. It's actually a big debate in this country.
It is.
How can you be Jewish and democratic? How? I mean, it's, you know what? It's a whole nother radio topic.
A whole nother radio topic. But, you know, I've had some folks stop me. I was in a hospital taking some Hershey's for Heroes to a soldier. And this woman stopped me. She was the quote-unquote chaplain or the spiritual leader or guide or whatever in the hospital. And she said, "We're very diverse here." And that's one thing I love about Israel is the diversity. Because you don't just have Jews living here. You have Muslims. You have Christians. You have all kinds of folks. Asians. The Filipino community is very big here. They take care of, thank God, they take care of a lot of the older folks, the more seasoned, the softest in the country. And but she said, we refer to this as Israel and not so much the Jewish state. But I thought to myself, it was very interesting, because I thought, my goodness, 65 years old is this country, young is this country, because 65 years is not old. We set that age for retirement. But folks, my mother's 70 and still working away, you know. But I think to myself, you know, I like to call it the Jewish state, and I'll tell you why. Because all the other folks that live here, they'd still be pushing up daisies and shoving around rocks if it weren't for the Jews that dug in this God-kissed, Jewish-labored, give-to-the-world in technology, agriculture, medicine, and humanitarian work, as the Jewish Israelis, for the most part, in the military, are now helping the Philippines after the big storm. And the humanitarian work you do all over the world. So I have to say, as someone who's not Jewish, there is something that just rolls off my tongue that's musical when I get up in the morning and I go to my window and I say, thank God for another beautiful day, rain or shine, in the Jewish state. There's something beautiful.
Hopefully there. Rain, by the way. We could always use more of it.
Exactly. So,
I mean, listen, Moses did pick a desert. Let's not forget.
He did. And Golda Meir said, if I could ask, just to add to this, if I could ask Moses why he gave us the only bit of land that had no oil on it, little did Golda know that every step she was taking, there's enough gas and oil to last you for the next 400 years. But God knew the right time to give it to you. So you could build this country out of brains and bronze. And it's beautiful. So we were talking about, in the last segment, Abraham.
And his sons.
And his sons. And this is beautiful. I think that we need to take note of this as not just Jews in general, but people overall. That, you know, God is before. If you study Torah and the prophets, and even let's say as a Christian in the New Testament, if you study all of the attributes of God, You know, God has many names that were given to him for certain circumstances that he brought the Jewish people through. You have Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sitkenu. Jehovah Jireh means my provider. God provided for the Jewish people. Their clothes never wore out. Their sandals never wore out. He provided the manna every morning fresh. He said, don't take anything more than just for today, because I'll provide for you tomorrow. God was that cloud, that pillar of cloud by day leading the Jewish people, and that fire by night that led them. So my point being is that out of all of the things that God is that refer to his character, his attributes, his personality, first and foremost, God is holy. Before his love, compassion, and all of those wonderful things as humans that we embrace, God is holy. And sometimes we don't like to accept or embrace fully the holiness of God. So my point being is that when God told Abraham that you're going to have your seed is going to number the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea, and Sarah laughed and said, how can I have children even in my old age? Which led to God, her going and saying, well, let's look for an alternative to God's plan. Let's look for an alternative. And thus you have the Hagar, the handmaiden of Sarah, which went in with Abraham, and thus we have what we now, the Arab people.
God did say that Ishmael will be a great nation.
Now, we've learned through this conflict that the Jewish people and the Arabs, which now we can say Muslims, have had since that time. I truly believe that even going back to Adam and Eve, had Adam not blame shifted to Eve and said, it's that woman you gave me, instead of saying, let's fix the problem, we need to go and make it right with God, I think that we probably would, more than likely, would not have this conflict that we have today. So my point being is, which is leading up to my next topic,
sure.
My point is, obedience to God is better than any sacrifice you could ever make for God. Because that's what God asks of us. That we hear his word, we love him enough in our heart to be obedient to him, and thus the result is a blessed life. A life without turmoil or conflict. Not to say that externally we won't see conflict and turmoil.
If there's no conflict, you can't overcome it and benefit. You can't earn.
Right, right. Externally.
Yeah.
But when we're right with God and we're obedient to God internally, thus we have a peace with him. And that's what's important as individuals, which will thus bring an external peace and harmony, because we'll influence people in our lives with God as a society. So now here's where we lead up to the Jewish folks at home in the United States, that after 2,000 years, God has made a way. And that's what's beautiful. When I talk to Jews from all over the world, and I ask them, why did you come home? They feel that whisper of Hashem. I believe it's a whisper of Hashem, even though they may not hear an audible voice, to their heart saying, it's time to come.
One of the clearest biblical prophecies come true, one of the clearest, is the Jews being spread around to the four corners of the world, then coming home. That's it.
Where's that card at, Jeff?
Right here, my friend. If someone does not believe...
I wish you could see this card.
If someone does not believe that God wrote the Torah and in the word of the prophets, just look at the Jews coming home. The Jews are the only ancient people that were kicked out of the land and survived and came back. The only one, God promised it would happen.
Preserve your religion, your time.
We're living it today. And we're living it today. I'm living it. I'm so honored, so grateful to be able to do that. But it's a rare thing in human history, and you know the world should really look upon it and smile, because it means if that's true, the rest has got to be true.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if the rest is true, then everything's right in the world.
And I tell you,
we're moving to a better place.
I have to say, first of all, when I said refer to your card, I referred to your business card.
It ain't business, my friend. That's holy work. Yeah. Recently opened up my nonprofit foundation to be the umbrella for all the good work I do here in Israel, called the Am Yisrael Foundation, the Nation of Israel Foundation. And my tagline's pretty clear. There's never been an easier time for a Jew to be living in the land of Israel. There's no more excuses. Come home. I quote in the card, if you don't mind me quote,
no,
quote
go
the
ahead,
Bible.
Go ahead.
You're allowed to quote Bible on the show?
Go ahead.
All
of
right.
course.
All right, obviously. I'm gonna quote Yeheskel. That's Ezekiel to you the non-Jews out there.
We got a guy with a bad muffler on his motorcycle.
Oh, no, I think he chooses it that way. It's okay.
Wow. It's disturbing my radio show.
It's disturbing my Bible. All right, I'm quoting Torah here.
Here we go. Green light, baby. Green light. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
And I will take the children of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side, and I will bring them to their lands. That's Yeheskel, Ezekiel 37:21. You know, my Am Yisrael Foundation, it's modern Zionism in action. To quote the business card, if you will.
Yeah.
We seek to be a vessel for the new pioneers, a proponent throughout the entirety of the Jewish people for a stronger Jewish Zionist identity, connecting Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, with Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, for our spiritual and physical development. And that's what I do, man. That drives me. It's what I wake up in the morning thinking about, go to sleep thinking about.
You know, I have to say that, Jay, we probably agree on 99%. 98%.
7.5. 97.5.
And I will tell you that is one of the things that drives you, and I feel that same drive. Because it is a miracle. People can sit around and argue about history and about the Bible and all of the landmarks, the artifacts, the historical sites are being destroyed by the Muslims that are in this land that you give freedom to, that you give every right to, that they will not find in any other country. And I'm making my point by saying that I am blessed as someone who knows the scripture, who knows the prophecies, to actually be here and see it firsthand. It's amazing. It's a dream come true for me, and I appreciate it, brother. I mean, I know where you're coming from.
Michael, are you familiar with the Pew Study? P-E-W?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Pew Study came out a couple months ago, rocked the Jewish world, shook it up, and it was the first serious survey of American Jewish life, and it said 71% of non-Orthodox Jews in America marry non-Jews. And that's death for us. That's death for us.
Unless you have babies.
If there are no Jewish grandchildren,
right,
then, you know, we're done.
Right.
We're done.
Right.
The Jewish people, there's about 12.5-13 million of us in the world.
Right.
We can't afford to assimilate. We can't afford to take our identity for granted. And one of the most repeated lines that God tells the Jewish people in the Torah is, do not assimilate.
Right.
Do not, you're a holy nation, stick to yourselves, have Jewish babies, and I'll take care of the rest. And we're losing the battle, man.
And
Jewish life in America is the Titanic sinking.
And we're
rearranging the chairs, not taking care of business.
And I'll tell you what, let me add to that by saying, historically, the Jews tried to do that in Europe. They thought if they just would blend in, many of them were World War I heroes for the Germans. And they kept their mouths shut and they said, if we just blend in, they'll not look at us. But that was very untrue, because they were kicked out of the military when Hitler came to power. And so, listen, I mean, you could say it, but I want to say it as someone who's not Jewish, because I think it, you know, I had a friend of mine, Joel, who's in Washington, D.C., and I told him, I said, man, he said, my heart's in Israel, but I got student loans to pay off. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, Abraham, by faith, sojourned into a land that he knew not. By faith, obedience is better than sacrifice. Look, you got loans? Where's your faith in God? Don't go to the wall. I told him, I said, brother, don't go to the wall and put on the phylactery and play the religious game and then go back to the United States and say you believe in God. Because it doesn't mean a thing to me as someone who's not Jewish if you're not acting on your faith and trust in God.
The Jewish people are eternal. God, you know, I never worry about the Jewish people. God promised Abraham we'll be an eternal nation, and I believe in God, but you know, you got to worry about the individual. The question is, will an individual Jew be part of that story?
Right.
You know, every time, one of my favorite lines, my favorite stories in all of Judaism is from the story of Purim in the book of Esther. Mordecai comes to Esther and says, you know, I know why you're in this horrible position. You're with the king, but like, you know, I got this guy Haman that's trying to kill the Jewish people. You, Esther, are you in a unique place to help the Jewish people? And you know what Esther said to Mordecai? Nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to save the Jewish people. I can't go to the king. The king will kill me. I can't go to him. That's the law of the land. You can't just go to the king.
Right.
And Mordecai said the most beautiful thing. Esther, I'm not worried about the Jews. Salvation will come from somewhere. The Jews are eternal.
Right.
The question is, will you, Esther, as an individual Jew, be part of the Jewish people, be part of the story of the Jewish people? And she said, you know, you're right. And not only was Esther part of the story, she actually wrote the story.
Right.
And you know, I take that today. It's the Jews will be fine. But will you, Jew sitting in the diaspora, wherever you may be, New York, London, Miami, Chicago, L.A., Paris, are your great-grandchildren going to be part of the Jewish people? Will your great-grandchildren remember to pray to Jerusalem, to care about building up Jerusalem?
Right.
I don't know.
You know, and so my point, along with the point that I made in saying that, is you can only sit back in Egypt for so long because things are getting tough in the United States. They're getting bad. This administration has literally shown its face. Because, you know, Solomon said what is done in secret shall be shouted from the rooftops. The administration has taken and gone against the Jewish people by collaborating with Iran for a year and lied to us straight face and said, no, we're a friend to Israel, a friend to Israel, and they've shown that they're not. And so I think that the American Jews need to take a hint of that and realize that we need to come home when the doors are open. And instead, like back in Russia, when Russia refused them to come, as the country goes downhill, and look, it is not going to get any better. You might as well strap on your boot heels, dig in your boot heels and strap them on, because it's not going to get better. And it's time to come home when it's easy.
Listen, man, when Moses left Egypt with the Jewish people, Talmud says there's only about 20% that left. 80% of Jews stayed in Egypt, were so assimilated, so connected to the culture, that they melted away, and actually God killed them during the plague of darkness. It is not true that every Jew will be part of that prophecy.
Right.
You're going to have to choose to be part of the story.
Right.
And I worry about that. That's one of the big reasons I came here.
You know, let me clarify something sitting here as a Christian. I hear this stuff all the time, and this is for anyone that might be, some of my Jewish friends in the States are starting to listen to the show. Some crazy notion about the Christians want all the Jews to come back to Israel so the Messiah will return, which is completely bogus, and it's a farce and a theory that I'm not sure where it came from. But I get excited.
It came from the Jewish Bible. It came from the Tanakh.
Okay. I don't know anything about that, but I will just tell you that for me, as someone who knows the prophecies, it's exciting to see. And it's amazing when you talk to people from all over the world that there aren't even American that come from South America, that come from even Mexico or, you know, Asian countries, and they feel that draw. So let me ask you, with your organization, because I love your card here, you have this, not a square. It's not like a square.
No, yeah. I'm very attached to the logo. I mean, you can go to AmYisraelFoundation.org and
say it again.
AmYisraelFoundation.org.
Okay.
And, Michael, you post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I'm very connected to the logo. We have the 12 stalks of wheat. One of the only visual allusions to the Jewish people in the Torah was from the dream of Yosef, where the tribes were seen as stalks of wheat. And this brings all the stalks of wheat together. And inside, not a square, but a square missing the corners. You know, the prophecy is that the Jews from the four corners of the world will come home. And so my square is missing its corners. Because, you know, one day soon, the Jews will come home. And we can either choose to come home in fullness and in health, or as a weak people. But if we choose it, if we come now, you can come with your bank accounts and you come with your family intact.
Right.
And come whole.
And, you know, it's amazing because when you meet lone soldiers, now a lone soldier is a Jew that comes from all over the world, Jewish people that come from all over the world, they have no obligation to serve in the military, and they volunteer to serve. Of course, when I say volunteer, many people think free, they get paid. And they're given all the benefits of an Israeli-born Jew that joins the military mandatorily. But they're a special group of young people because they feel that call. They feel it.
They come without their families. They don't have the family support. They didn't have their uncle, their cousin who went to the army before them to show them the ropes. It's a challenge for them. And they're like the absolute most incredible guys. And girls, by the way.
Right.
We got girls coming from America, young Jews coming here to fight, coming here to serve. And it's a beautiful thing to see because for them it's a major sacrifice. They're friends. They're either in college, having the time of their lives,
right.
Or they just graduated, they're working in New York, making big bucks on Wall Street, and the friends come here and say, you know what, serving the Jewish people is more important than the money, is more important than the partying, and even if I don't have my family, you know, my mom to do my laundry on the weekends, I'm going to do it anyway, because it's that important.
Wow. It's amazing when I run into them. You know, I have a bracelet on. For Michael Levin Lone Soldier Center.
Sure.
And I stopped a girl one time and said, thank you for your service to the country. And she spoke to me, of course, in English. And I was like, you're an American. And she goes, yeah. And she saw my bracelet. And she's like, how do you know about them? I said, how can I not want to know about them? About, you know, Michael Levin was a young man who did whatever it took to get in the military. He cut through the red tape and just crawled through a window on the second story floor of a building. And said, I went in, you know, let's cut the red tape and get me in so I can fight. And he lost his life in 2006.
Lebanon, yeah.
In the second Lebanon War. And, you know, these are people with conviction and principles. And you see those principles fulfilled in their life. You know, it's, Jay, I want to say that I'm glad that I know you because there's a lot of folks that do a lot of talking. And they're crippled. They're crippled, and they're crippled by their own will because they don't want to do a lot of walking. And, you know, I appreciate everything that you, the hours. Look, we both can relate because we put in a lot of hours, and I don't find any greater joy. There's no greater joy than one thing I learned from my college, but their theme was live for others. And it's not something you necessarily have to stop and think about. It's just something you live. It's something you live.
Well, I definitely appreciate getting emails from you at 4 in the morning because I'm also up at 4 in the morning.
There's times, man, I'll tell you, there's times I've seen the sunrise, you know. But when you see the results in people's lives, where did this all begin for you? We've talked about this before, and you can go to the prior show, but...
Yeah. I grew up like most American Jews in New Jersey. New Jersey being one of the, you know, major bastions of American Jewish life, just in terms of numbers, in terms of community.
Say it again, because that's very important. In terms of what?
Community.
Numbers and community.
Yeah.
Because many times when we... And we're getting back to the American Jews. Many times we just allow ourselves. I've been to New York City and I've seen whole communities of Jewish folks, and I didn't feel Israel. I wanted to. I would go every weekend to New York, and I didn't feel Israel.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up with almost exclusively Jewish friends. Just happened to be. It's where I grew up. It's what my high school was and where I went to college. But most of the Jewish guys I went to high school with, they married non-Jews. That's the common American story. You know, it's nice when people have Christmas trees in America, but not...
And that's pagan.
But
I don't
if
even
they're,
agree with that.
But it's okay if they're Christian or if they're pagan, but certainly not if they're Jewish, man.
Right.
You know, 39% of American Jews, according to this new study, they got Christmas trees. 70% marry non-Jews. 80% of American Jews have never visited Israel. We're dying over there, man. We American Jews forgot who they are. They're illiterate in terms of Jewish texts, Jewish knowledge, Jewish. And I'm not even talking about being super religious. But just love, man. Just, you know, seeing the Jewish people, being part of the Jewish people, not just as a responsibility, not as something you do to make your parents or grandparents happy, but as something that you see as an honor, something that you have pride in.
Right.
And we've lost that. And I think today, if we don't come home, we're gonna melt away. You know, listen, the Holocaust was horrible, but that was murder.
Right.
And what we're doing to ourselves in America is suicide, and that's far worse.
And then,
let me clarify,
because, you know, the problem with Hollywood is they give this picture about being Jewish, that everybody's Hasidic, everybody's dressing in the black and white, you know? And I hate that image. I really do, because I think it gives people, like, for example, I have a woman, a Jewish woman in the States, that constantly criticizes me about Israel. Okay, constantly. This woman berates me on Facebook. She's Jewish. She's never been to Israel. Talks about this country like she knows it. Says I'll never be accepted because I'm not Jewish. And always makes reference to the
Orthodox. Jewish, there's Jewish and there's Jewish.
Clarify that?
You know, the ish. The, you know, there's... Just because your mother's a Jew and you were born as a Jew, and by the way, no one can ever take away a Jewish soul,
right,
doesn't mean you're living a Jewish life.
Right.
There's living like a Jew, there's understanding Jewish tradition, there's understanding Jewish history, there's understanding the Jewish religion, the Jewish worldview, but that's different than just being a Jew, and there's many Jews in America, in fact, maybe most, and it's a real shame that just because they were born Jewish, they think they got it.
Right.
But no.
No, you're right. I see it on Facebook all the time on a lot of, in New York City, a lot of, and even that, the events I went to in Washington, D.C. that had nothing to do with Israel, they were just Jewish gathering events, happy hours, things like that. And I would ask people, I'd say, have you been to Israel? Yeah, I've been there. I did Tagleed or whatever, and it's like it rolls off of them. And I'm thinking...
They take it for granted.
I'm like, wow. I mean, like, I want to be there. You have no clue how bad I wanted to be in this country and to feel and know what the Jewish people went through, because I saw the persecution from the UN and from Islam and all these countries. And it's like, how are you so nonchalant about what is happening?
I will tell you why. I have the answer. In America, there's a little blessing, a little secret of Jewish survival that we don't have. It's called anti-Semitism.
Right.
The silver lining of anti-Semitism is when your non-Jewish neighbor doesn't want their daughter marrying your son as much as you don't want your son marrying their daughter, the Jews survive.
Right.
Well, you don't have it, man. America is golden handcuffs.
Yeah.
It's a golden pillow over our noses, and, yeah, and we're getting suffocated, and it feels comfortable. It's comfortably numb.
And, you know, the thing about it is, especially as I've traveled the country, it bothers me. It breaks my heart when I see the Israeli-born Jews that have suffered the wars, that have been through the persecution, that have been talked, that have been hugely, I can't even emphasize how misrepresented this country has been by the media and the global governance and the UN, how so lied about. And I see everything they go through, and then I see what happens in the United States, that there is a disconnect between the two. And when I talk to Israeli-born Jews, they're like, oh, they're comfortable over there. They just want to throw money at us and speak for us, but they don't understand what we go through. It breaks my heart. It kills me inside, you know? So that's why, Jay, I'm so glad you do what you do, because it means a lot to me seeing what these folks here go through.
Being born Jewish isn't your choice. Staying Jewish and having Jewish children and grandchildren, that is a choice.
Right.
And that's a choice we have to make. And listen, we can't take it for granted.
Yeah.
There's not enough of us. We'll be eternal, but will you as an individual be part of that story?
Yeah. Let's say it again one more time.
Will you as an individual be part of that story, be part of the Jewish people? I mean, listen, by numbers, there should be a billion Jews in the world, right? We should be the Indians. We should be the Chinese. We're just as ancient.
Right.
But we're not. We're so few.
What's your website again?
That's the AmYisraelFoundation.org.
Spell that out.
It's AmYisrael, YISRAEL, Foundation.org.
Jay, thank you.
Brother?
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
I appreciate you.
I'll see you guys soon.
I love you and the missus.
Miss Anonymous.
This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel, and I want to say thank you to everyone for listening. Don't forget Hershey's for Heroes. We need 1,000 chocolate bars for these soldiers with notes on them. Not just the chocolate bars, but the notes to say thank you for defending the one star on that flag that should be fought for at all costs. Thank you for listening. God bless America, the patriot conservatives that believe in the Constitution and Bill of Rights, not the liberals, and God bless the Jewish state and its fight for sovereignty and security.
Amen.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.